Hi there and welcome to the 1014 Rugby, the global rugby community, and we're bringing you rugby based on passion, integrity and respect. And today, Gareth?
We're really excited to bring you a window into the rugbysite.com. Coaching videos by the world's greatest rugby minds.
Eddie Jones, Warren Gatlin, Joe Schmidt, Gregor Townsend, Wayne Smith, Dan Carter, Richie McCaw, names just roll off and off the tongue. It's incredible.
So with first up, we've got a video from Eddie Jones. We didn't conduct this interview, but we think the content, and thanks to the guys on rugbysite.com, is really relevant to this Six Nations and Eddie Jones' England. So to kick it off, Eddie Jones talking about team culture.
Team culture is a word that's used a lot around sports, and a word that is used to describe the environment that the players operate in. To me, it's a bit more than that. Culture to me is based on values. So the first thing you have to do is understand the values that are going to be important for your team. For instance, with the Japan team at the moment, we have three key values. We have respect, respecting your teammates, respecting the fans, respecting the game, respecting the referee. The second most important thing for us is discipline, of being able to continually do things in the right way. So it doesn't matter whether the coach is looking or not looking, that the player keeps on doing the things he knows are important to keep developing. And the last bit for us is courage, because we're going to play the game a different way. You know, we're going to play the game completely different from other teams. So we need to have the courage to keep playing that way. Because when you get beaten sometimes and you play a bit unorthodoxly, guys come up and they say, you should have kicked more, you should have done this. And maybe sometimes they're right, but you've got to have a belief in the way you play and you've got to have the courage to keep doing that. So those values are the key thing for us in terms of our culture. Then from those values, behaviours grow. And they're the things that you can see every day. And as a head coach, you've got to monitor every day to ensure that your culture keeps growing. For instance, how do you show courage? How do you behave with courage? Well, there's not only the physical courage, there's the mental courage. There's the question when a journalist asks you after the game, do you think you should have done something else? And you say, no, this is the way we play. This is the way Japan plays. You know, we believe if we play better, we're going to win that way. That's showing courage. So as a coach, you've got to continually be reinforcing those behaviours that grow from your value, continually rewarding good behaviour, continually punishing bad behaviour. And if players don't want to change, then you've got to make a decision on whether you keep that player in the squad or you move that player on. And the other thing you can do as a coach is sometimes theme your weeks so you're concentrating on one particular value and really reinforcing that so, again, the players understand the importance of it.
Fascinating insight, Steve.
Incredible insight. We know this is Japan, but what Eddie has done with England and bringing those values into the English setup has been nothing short of miraculous. Whether you've got respect, discipline and courage with Japan, I suspect those are very, very similar to the values that have been brought into this England camp.
Yeah, what do you think, guys? Do you think he's like Eddie Jones does respect the DNA of a team. What is this his fourth international team?
Fourth international team.
So he'll take unique values to a country. Do you think he's using the same ones with England? And if we look back, there was definitely problems with team culture and values in the 2011 World Cup. The 2015 World Cup, the English boys just didn't achieve their potential, right. Didn't get out of their group. And in a really short period of time, he must be applying these kind of values to make them perform.
These kind of values and this kind of man management, and he's just, like, what he has done in just over two seasons is nothing short of miraculous. Yeah. It's incredible. Lost one test out of 26 or something, but it's interesting he goes in, if people can't mould to those values or you can't mould them to those values, they've got to go. And then, again, if they can, you bring them in. So there must be players that have sort of gone by the wayside because they didn't fit into that mould. Yeah. But then again, there are players in the English side that I can think of straight off the top of my head who fit these values straight off the bat.
I can think, like Chris Robshaw, to me.
He epitomises this.
Yeah, to me. And who was it? Dan Cole. You mentioned him in the front row earlier on.
Yeah, looking in from the outside, those are sort of players that are there and thereabouts, Eddie, and they're holding them together.
So what do you think, guys? And on the other side of it, other guys that didn't fit into Eddie's culture plan, would you think?
Yeah.
Let's go back to Eddie.
Rugby's a team game, and it's probably the most complex team game in the world, in that if you don't get one area right, you can't play the game how you want to play. So if you can't get your line out right, you can't play first phase attack. If you can't play first phase attack, it's hard to play phase attack from there. The role of the players in that in this complex game is even more difficult, because unless a nine performs his role, it's hard for the backs to attack. Unless a hooker can throw the ball in straight, you can't have lineouts. So all of those areas have got to fit in neatly together. And obviously the key aspect of a team sport is how the individuals cooperate with each other, how they compete with each other, and as a head coach, how do you get the best out of each individual? The first thing you need to know for each individual is you need to know what motivates them to play rugby. You know, some players are motivated by money, some players are motivated by fame, some players are motivated by maybe their father wants them to play rugby, or maybe their wife wants them to play rugby. So you've got to understand what drives them. You've got to then understand what they enjoy in rugby. How do they get the most enjoyment out of their game, and also the things that they don't enjoy. Then the next most important thing to do is to understand how the players learn, because unless you can communicate effectively with the player, it's no use giving them tons of information. So we've done a lot of different things with teams over the past. We've done testing on learning to try to understand how each player learns the best, whether they write, whether they read, whether they listen, or whether they need to do. So you need to know that for each player, so that when you're communicating with that player, you know which way to do it. So it might be when you've got a George Smith, you don't take him into a room and show him a lot of videos. You get out on the field and show him what he needs to do. So that's really, really, really important that you have that information. There's a lot of simple tests around, and that each of your staff understands that. You know, you go to business meetings and they have PowerPoint presentations of 50 slides. And you know, after 10 slides, most people are knocked off. But people keep doing it because they think they have to do it. Well, coaching's all about being effective. Coaching's all about how you improve the players. And to improve the players, you've got to understand how you can get them to learn. And then for each of the players, you've got to come up with a player plan. So at the Brumbies, we used to call them job descriptions. They'd have to write their own job description. They'd have to say what they're going to do for the team. They'd have to say how they're going to do it. So if they're going to be the most effective on-ball flanker, how are they going to do it? What do they need to have? What levels of aerobic fitness do they need to have? What levels of anaerobic fitness do they need to have? What strength leg work do they need to do? What skill work do they need to do? So we have goals for the players, then we have a plan for the players. And then it's really important that the staff continually review those plans with the players. Don't let it just be a document. It's got to live. So you've got to continually be go back to that, either get the players to self-assess or you assess them, and do that all the time with the players so they're continually getting constant feedback on their performance. And the way you give them the feedback is the way that they learn best.
Yeah, so there you go, just more insight into the mind of a genius, rugby genius. So how did you take that, Gareth?
I was really interested in the amount of time and focus that he puts on how players learn things. And then, they all learn different ways and he's radically aware of that. But what really impresses me is that he ensures that all his staff members are aware of how individual players learn things. So if you're a Chris Robshaw and you like to receive messaging a certain way, the backs coach, the forwards coach, like the medical team are going to be aware of the way Chris Robshaw likes to learn. And I think that's incredible, not just in a sporting team, but across business or anything.
Yeah.
That kind of awareness that everybody is into that kind of level of detail and level of respect for a player, I think that's incredible, fascinating.
And very few mixed messages, because we have seen a few rugby teams at international level over the last couple of years, it appears they're getting mixed messages and the results translate into they don't know what they're doing on the field largely, but this England team is so well drilled and they must be getting those messages. The bits that I found really interesting is they cooperate as a team and they compete together as a team.
Yeah, that was interesting.
I think it's very, very important. For example, if you look at the back three of England that have been selected in the Six Nations under Eddie Jones, they've only ever selected six players and five of them are basically there together since round four of 2016. They must be competing in such a way so that come 2019, because his big picture is 2019, he can just drop them in and out and they've got that respect, but they're pushing each other along and they appreciate you know, what it takes to make that England side. So I'm finding those bits, and I think it was missing. That's missing from a lot of teams.
I think like that he's aware of how players compete.
Yeah.
I would never have thought of that. Like, it's one thing to get guys competing, but he's aware of sportsmanship or what players do, you know, the values that they bring to the way they compete against each other.
And you mentioned motivation, what motivates people, and that's hugely interesting. Yeah. Money or fame, or, you know, you want to do it because for some other reason, I'm not sure, but that's also very fascinating. So he's obviously gone in at the end of 2015, beginning of 2016, before the Six Nations, said, this is my squad, I'm going to give this a crack. And he's just got all that information, he's drawn that information out of it, and then handed it over to everyone in his team, like in his coaching team, because you don't get those results without that work.
No. Incredible. Whatever he's doing, this stuff is working. This is really fascinating.
Yeah.
We'll jump back to him.
Yep.
For each player, when they come to training, they've got to have the intent to improve. And that's something that comes easily to some players. And you see the really good players in the world. They come to training, they've got their routine of what they need to do to train, what they need to do to prepare. There's also a lot of research that says that if a player's made a mistake during a game, the good players over the weekend go through that in their head a number of times, and by the time they get to training on Monday, they've already fixed that problem. So when you ask them about it, they already know what they've got to do. So you've got to encourage that sort of process with your players. First thing is to make sure the players know physically how they need to prepare for training. And again, for each player, it's completely different. But whatever they need to do, whether it be stretching or whether it be do extra running or whether it be doing lifting weights or whether it's been getting a massage, they need to do that. The second part is the mental part. Some players can switch on quickly. Other players need to have that period to make sure that they get into a training mode. So you've got to allow the players the chance to develop that sort of mechanism to again ensure that they train well. The third thing then is the players need to know specifically what they want to improve at training. So sometimes teams get them to write it down all the time. Other times you can just say at the start of the session, go around on an ad hoc situation, ask the player, what are you going to work on today? Okay, that's good. How are you going to do it? And then at the end of the session, show him the video and assess whether he's achieved what he wanted to do at that goal. So make players accountable for their performance at training. Make them accountable by making sure they prepare well and make sure that they've got targets for their training.
Man, he makes it sound so easy, Steve. Isn't there just clear, not simple messages, but they're clear. And this is built up of years of test coaching. Australia, World Cup finalists, Johnny Wilkinson ruined the party for them. South Africa, World Cup medal winners. And then he's got Japan, heroic World Cup. And now Six Nations stuff going on with England. Messaging so clear, but built over years of experience.
Yeah, it is simple messaging. And the bit I like is the feedback loop.
Yeah.
Go into what are you going to do? What are you going to achieve today in training? How are you going to achieve it? Again, putting the emphasis back, the responsibility back on the player to say, how am I going to improve? Then they shoot the video of them. Then they do a feedback loop immediately after training. So the next day, that person knows exactly what they did well, what they needed to improve on. And let's bring in consistency to the game.
And it's mad consistent. I know it's been 2.5 years or something like that, just over. But this England team doesn't go down. Like, their performances are always up there. You can take a guy like Courtney Laws for me. I've never seen him play more consistent rugby than I have under Eddie Jones. And he's turning him into this consistent test animal. And they're all like that. They're like, maybe some guys just dip slightly, but they never go below a certain performance that's required to be an England test player. And I think that's the mark of some coach, to get your best players achieving their potential consistently.
Yeah, it's incredible consistency. Yeah. But back to Eddie, what else has he got to say here?
Well, what you want in your squad are players that want to play all the time. And that's really important. We had a guy at the Brumbies called Peter Ryan who played for the Brisbane Broncos. I won't use the term he used to call me when he didn't get selected, but he'd always say the same thing. And he said, I've got to say that, mate, because I want to play. And that's the attitude you want from your players. So in terms of selection, what you've got to make sure as a coach is that you've got everyone competing for positions, and that to allow them to compete for positions, you've got to make sure that you reward performance with selection. So if a player's playing consistently better than someone else, and he fits the team. Even though he mightn't have the experience or the number of caps someone else, you've got to reward that, because otherwise players don't see that merit coming through. So the first part of selection is about creating an environment where you've got, we talk about cooperative competition, that everyone's competing for a spot, but at the end of the day, then when the team's selected, everyone needs to cooperate. Second thing is make sure each player knows what they're being selected on. What are the key areas that they've got to do well to be selected? The third part's always the hardest part, when players aren't being selected. I always speak to every player who's not in the starting 15 individually about what they need to do to get into the team. And sometimes you've got to be truthful. You just got to say, look, there's not much between you two, but this week I've got a gut feeling he's going to play well. But I mightn't have that gut feeling next week. So you've got to make sure I don't have that gut feeling next week. You've got to make sure you prepare that well. Be honest with the players. But again, honesty is very important, but use common sense. You know, if you feel a player is a little bit mentally fragile and he can't tolerate just the honest truth about where he is, just put a little bit of chocolate on it for him. All right, make sure he understands what he's got to do, but sometimes you've got to manage those players, because you can lose players if you're consistently honest and harsh with them, particularly if they're not strong mentally. So just be a little bit careful. The honesty's got to be true. The other part about that I'd really emphasise is that most teams have a selection group or selection committee that's generally composed of the head coach, the assistant coach, and the two assistant coaches. Make sure there's only one person giving information on selection. If the player's not being selected, he doesn't go to the forwards coach to get an explanation. He doesn't go to the backs coach, he comes to the head coach. So then the information is entirely consistent. Because a forwards coach, a guy can come up and say, well, I haven't been selected, and the forwards coach can say, oh yeah, I know, you know, it was pretty tight this week, and you know, the head coach maybe felt the other guy was better. And he's almost then giving that player an excuse and trying to be nice to that player. Don't allow that to happen in your team. Get all the selection information from the head coach, and so that the players are getting very consistent information.
Yeah, I've got some notes here, Gareth. The bits I found interesting here were this cooperative competition. Yeah. There's clearly cooperative competition in the England setup at the moment. They've got depth in most of the positions there, probably world-class depth in a lot of the positions there. And consistency of messaging. That's hugely important.
Yeah.
You know, how did you, like, the consistency of
messaging? It's that consistency in the messaging, and it's the conviction in decision-making. So he is crystal clear, and the players are really clear on who's telling them they're dropped, why they're dropped, and what they need to do to get back in. And that kind of clarity is, I think, for me, if I was a coach, that's the single greatest trade I could take from this collection of snippets from Eddie Jones. Going down to under-12s, under-8s, where Johnny's daddy is the forwards coach and he's telling Johnny's best friend why he's not playing and stuff like that, and all this kind of mix. Players need to know why they're in and why they're out, and they need to get it from one guy. But for me, it's that clarity of decision-making, I'm sure, goes on to the playing, so that the number 10 knows exactly what's needed of him and how to achieve it.
I also found it interesting, he wants players that want to play. And I always assume that if you make, like, if you're an All Black, you want to play for the All Blacks. You're England, yeah. You make the team, you want to play. But there must be different levels of, I really want to play. So that's really interesting to me. I'm going to be watching out for that in the Six Nations to see that.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I presume there's a level of insanity of the guys that just hate not playing at all. Yep. I know in Ireland, Johnny Sexton seems to be one of those guys. Yeah. Get very cranky if not selected, even if arrested or under concussion or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But yeah, there must be a brand of player that Eddie Jones likes there.
Yeah, it's, and you know, there will be lots and lots of them there, you know, particularly now they don't
say well. I would presume Mike Brown is like that.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. What else has he got to say?
The best teams in the world have generally the best players in the world. But you need, any team's got to be made up of complementary skills. So you do need brilliant players and you need hard-working players. And for the game you want to play, you've got to have the right combination of hard-working players and talented players. And most talented players now are also hard-working. So don't have a set rule on it. Pick teams so that you get the right balance. so that if you've got someone like a Quade Cooper who's absolutely can be brilliant, and other days who can be not so brilliant, then you've got to have a 12 and a 13 who are very consistent players. Because if you have one of those, another one of those players in that area, and they both have a day where they're not too consistent, then you're going to have a losing game. So make sure you're looking at the balance of your team. Make sure you know, in terms of your team, who are the guys that are the core of your team? Who are the five or six players that make your team? And again, some things in rugby doesn't change. That spine of the team is always so important, that they're your good senior players. That your 2, 8, 9, 10 and 15 are guys that are dependable, that want to win, that add to the team, that don't have a large fluctuation in performance, so that they're the guys who are always going to be the first on the team list.
So the bits that I found interesting there was the balance between brilliant and hardworking players, assuming they're two different players. Now Eddie Jones is saying, well, a lot of the time now brilliant players are also hardworking, but those metrics and finding a hardworking player, looking for those stats, how they play in the last 5 minutes, what their desire is, and mixing them with a brilliant player is a stroke of genius. And you'll often find that teams will bring in a new player into the midfield or a new player into the back three, but they won't mix them around too much, and there won't be vast changes unless they're injury enforced. And you're seeing that with the England selection, so consistent.
Yeah, like he had, what did you say, there's five or six players who's been messing around with his back five, back three.
Yeah.
Mike Brown, whenever fit, has been there all the time. So he's been trying different wingers,
yep,
experimenting around. He's got fast guys in there. He's got, you know, he's actually, there's a decent number of guys he's been trying. But Mike Brown is in there as the consistent guy, and he's looking for balance. So when we're looking at selection, and, you know, we're watching the domestic and European competitions, and we're seeing this leading light of a new young player coming up and say, he's got to be the next England Irish 15.
Yeah.
We're not looking at the balance and the selection of the three together. And as a head coach, he's radically aware of that. And that's very interesting. As the balance of a back row, the balance of the back three, and the biggest balance of all is the consistency of the spine. And we've got a video going back a few months ago. We'll put a link to it here. But he seems to be radically aware of the spine and what he said. These guys are dependable. They want to win. And they're consistent. And they kind of set the tone of the whole team.
Yeah, there's no fluctuation in form in those guys, largely. And so they can depend on almost what the result is going to be, because he knows what he's going to get out of those players. So this is incredible insight, incredible information from Eddie Jones. And really gives us an idea of, A, what he did with Japan, yeah, which was nothing short of incredible. Three wins in the pool play, but didn't get through. Only team in history to do that. And then, you know, what he's doing with England.
I think what's remarkable about this, even though he's talking about Japan, and this is a few years old now, this is directly applicable to his England team, isn't it? And you can see it, and if I'm Irish, I'm actually thinking about what he's saying and try and transfer it into what Joe Smith is doing with Ireland, or what Gatland is doing with Wales, and with the Lions even.
Yeah.
Picking that spine, that the senior guys. I just found it fascinating. We want to thank the guys on rugbysite.com as well. Get over to them. They've got some incredible content. Check them out on Facebook as well. They're on Twitter, and it's subscription-based, but there's a lot of free content out there as well, and they're always leaking out some really cool stuff on Facebook as well. So thanks very much to the guys on rugbysite.com, and don't forget to check us out on Twitter and Facebook as well.
Cheers. Thank you very much.